Good morning, everybody. You're in fine voice this morning. It's good to come and to worship and to share in God's house as we come and give our thanks and praise. And over these last weeks, we've been giving thanks that God is there in the midst of life's storms. I don't know about you, but I'm glad January is over. But also that we realise, as I said a few weeks ago, the worth of an anchor when we have to walk through storms, which brings us the reassurance of God's presence. A couple of weeks ago, we thought about how Jesus never changes, but yet knowing him changes everything. And last week, that our God is sufficient for us to meet our needs, to enable us to live life abundantly in his strength. And so today, as we kind of conclude that series, which I didn't realise was a series until I got to the end of the series, that we can be reassured that we can stand on God's promises, that he says to us that if we abide in him, that he will abide in us. So as we come to worship, God of love, plant us in the soil of your grace, nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today and all days. Abide in us, that we may abide in you and live in your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And so we sing number 467, Morning Has Broken. Definitely are in good voice this morning. That was beautiful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you as we've just sung those words that we can come this beautiful new morning to give our thanks and our praise. We thank you for the recreation of each day. Often, Lord, we take it for granted that when we go to bed that we'll wake up the next morning. And so, Lord, we have the first thing to be thankful for, that we are here today. And that we can come and give our thanks and our praise. We greet you in this sacred space, this house of prayer, your house. We do thank you for the beauty of this new day as the sun shines. We thank you that we can come because we need to be reminded daily of your love and your expectations for our living. We thank you that we can see you in the beauty of your creation. As the new buds are coming up, as spring flowers are blooming, Lord, it makes us feel brighter in ourselves, and we give you the thanks and the praise. Lord, we are like the vine that you planted, watered and protected. We know in our hearts that we need, want and desire your presence in our lives. So we come to you in worship, in prayer, and we listen for your word to speak to our hearts and reveal again your desires for us. We come and give our praise to Jesus Christ, the true vine. In our need, we come to you. In our weakness, needing your strength. For we too easily become dry and lifeless without your life-giving spirit. Jesus Christ, the true vine, teach us to remain in you and so to find your life flowing in us, giving strength and vigor to our discipleship. As we come closer to you, our lives are drawn closer to others. Lord, our minds turn to the images of violence and destruction that we have seen on the news, in places of fear and terror, to where people are at conflict over race, religion, land, and power. Our thoughts turn to Christian brothers and sisters living with persecution, who face danger simply for being linked to you. Father, we would ask that you would prune back all that stands in the way of peace. Our thoughts turn to people in leadership and power who have decisions to make over the economy, of people whose jobs and livelihoods will be affected. We pray for our nations and its leaders. May changes and choices be shaped by the value of your kingdom. On our hearts are people in need in our own church and community. Wherever hearts are breaking, bodies are failing, minds are confused, families are disrupted. Lord, please come with your help and your healing. And as we come here too, Lord, as we gathered in your church today, your house, we give thanks to all those saints of the past and the fruit they have borne in our community and beyond. And so, Lord, I pray that like them, help us to remain in you, that we may be fruitful and bring glory to your name. Through Jesus Christ, the true vine. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So already through our opening words, I've been giving you big hints about what our reading is today. And if you still don't know, then I'll start the service again. But as we come up to our text for this morning, Jesus has been teaching about his ways as the way, the truth, and the life, and the work of the Holy Spirit to his disciples and all those who gather. As we come to our reading, it's the night before Christ will be crucified. Judas has already gone to betray Jesus. Jesus and his disciples have just departed the upper room where they shared the Last Supper. And as they walk, the Lord refers to two metaphorical groups, branches that bear fruit and those who don't. And so I'll ask Marjorie if she'll come and give us our reading.
The reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, and it's on page 1083 of the Pew Bibles. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Amen.
Sure, those verses are quite familiar to many of us, and I love the bit where it says in the NIV, remain in me and I will remain in you. In the English Standard Version it says, abide in me and I will abide in you. And I think I've said before that abide just gives you such a different idea, doesn't it? Of, it's not a word we use very often either, is it, abide, unless we're singing the hymn, which we'll do in a minute. But I looked up the word abide because it's one of them words I want to get into my vocabulary. It says to remain stable or fixed in a state. And I thought, isn't that lovely if I think of that with God, to remain fixed and stable in God's love. And so we're going to think about that in a minute and what that then means to us as people of God, as his community. But first we'll sing number 4, Abide With Me. And remembering as we sing verse 3 particularly that we need his presence, as we've been thinking over these weeks, every passing hour.
Oh,
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung those beautiful words again, we just come now and ask, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, that you would remind us of who you are to each one of us, that, Lord, that we would accept your invitation to abide in you, and, Lord, that you would come and abide in us. So, Lord, we open our hearts now to receive more of you. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, on my day off, the one Tuesday in January where it didn't rain, not that I'm bitter in any way, I decided I'd go out into the garden and prune some trees or bushes, don't know what they were, do now, because I've trimmed them back, at the bottom of the garden that were, you know, they were really irritating me. They were right in my vision and they needed to be pruned. It's one of those jobs that you think is a good idea until you start it. And about an hour later, as I'm surrounded by what's left, I'm thinking, well, that's not all going to go in the bin today. And actually half of it's still there waiting for the bin to be emptied. But I thought to myself, right, that's a good job. And then I just thought, right, okay, now we'll have a go at the fuchsias, because you have to get rid of all the dead wood, don't you, around fuchsias, so that they come back abundantly. And then in my line of vision was the rose bush. Now, the rose bush was a pure joy last year because it kind of grew. But if you remember, we had a lot of wind. And somehow one of the branches just twisted round on itself and then back out into the garden. But before I could get there and trim it back, it had flowered prolifically. So it was like, okay, I can't cut you off now because I feel like I'm killing nature. But you can't stay like that because, again, you're in my vision. I can see you. And I wasn't punishing the rose for doing its thing. And in some ways, I didn't want to hurt it either. So I thought, right, okay, I'll let you do what you're going to do last year. But it's gone now. That was that one branch that was just detracting from the beauty of that particular rose bush. So, yeah, it had to go. But the one good thing is that when you do pruning, and, well, I think mine was quite a severe heart attack, actually, but it revealed loads of bulbs and loads of other things that had been growing underneath those trees, bushes, that I didn't really get to enjoy the beauty of because they were hidden. So I might have seen the odd little glimpse of yellow because most of them are daffodils. I can identify daffodils. A couple of tulips and some snowdrops. But, you know, if I'd not trimmed it back, I wouldn't have been able to see what I can see now and what I wait now expectantly to flourish and bloom forth in the next few weeks. And it made me think about this passage today. It made me think about our lives as Christians. I often say that when we say we go to church, if we dare to say we go to church, if people know that we're Christians, then people should be able to look and find fruit in our lives. Because God's word tells us that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we will produce spiritual fruit. Jesus says in this passage, "My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father." Jesus also said in the Gospel of Matthew, "By their fruits you will know them." The metaphor of bearing fruit is used quite often in the Bible, and over these last couple of weeks as we've started to study the parables at our Bible study, Jesus spoke of seed in the parable of the sower that falls on different types of ground, representing different reactions to the truth of those hearing the gospel, receiving and hearing the gospel message. And the final category that was mentioned is good ground. And so, in other words, those who have that spiritual longevity are those who embrace the truth and produce much fruit. So today's sermon is all about the fruit. Now, this is not a sermon on your five a day, or 10 a day, or however many you're supposed to eat now. This is about what we, as who profess to be believers, who profess to be Christians, should be showing as we live in this world. Because, as I've said, people are watching, people are looking. And I know it's God's creation, but it will die if it does that again. The Bible tells us that we should bear fruit worthy of repentance. Abide means to continue in a place, to remain, to dwell. Live in me. Stay attached always. That's a great invitation, isn't it? But also a challenge, don't you think? Just checking that you're still with me. Hello? Yes, yeah, yeah. Invitation and challenge. Because how often when things are going right do we think, I can do this life thing? What's the problem? But actually we need to remain in Jesus all the time. How do we respond to our current disruptions, to losses, to uncertainties? Where and to whom do we turn for support and encouragement, for comfort and for hope? I love this passage, particularly where it's placed, where Jesus is talking, what's about to happen to Jesus. He speaks intimately and lovingly to his friends, knowing that he will soon be separated from them. Abide in me as I abide in you, he tells them in verse 4, as an expression of deep commitment and intimate communion. Jesus says his last I am statement during the moments leading up to his arrest to the 11 remaining disciples. He knows that the darkest hours lay ahead. He knows their faith will be tested. He knows they will suffer, and so he tells them to abide in him. The Greek word gives us the sense of Jesus saying, hang in there with me and I'll hang in there with you. And I think that's great to think that when we're going through stuff, that we hang in there with Jesus because he's hanging in there with us. It was his last opportunity to warn his disciples not to be like Judas, but to be steadfast in their faith and to bear fruit. The fertility of the vine is a common plant in Israel at the time, naturally suggested that spiritual fruit bearing. The illustration was not new to those familiar with their Old Testament, because we see lots of mentions of it, particularly in the Psalms, picturing God as someone who plants and tends to the vine of his people. The main emphasis of our passage today, and if you want to read through to the end after the service, are evidenced by the words repetition 11 times, is that a message to remain, to abide in him. Because if you do, you will bear much fruit. So as I said, it's all about the fruit. In this verse, there is a clear expectation, clear sense of expected growth. First mentioned is unfruitfulness, then productivity, and then abundance. In terms of our spiritual lives, this is how God expects us to progress. As part of that process, God removes and prunes the branches. In both the vine and in our relationship to God, merely being around or attached to the concept of Christ is not enough. Just as some branches are in a vine but not connected to the life-giving aspects, so too can people be in a church or in a Christian community but not be truly saved. The evidence separating these two is fruitfulness. Branches that aren't rightfully part of the true vine are unfruitful, eventually being cut off and destroyed. This is not about a loss of salvation. The discarded branches were never meaningfully part of the vine in the first place. Some appear to be connected, but they're not the branches. They're dead and they never produce fruit. And so the vine dresser removes those branches to allow room and resources for the living branches to accomplish and fulfill their purpose. I had a bookmark once that gave me the acronym of what it means to abide in Jesus. It says A, adore, B, bless, I, incline, D, dwell, and E, exalt. And so we're supposed to adore His Majesty in prayer. And if you remember, we started thinking about our A's during Advent, and one of the first ones was adoration. So we're coming back a couple of months later to adoration. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So that means to worship, to honor. It goes beyond just an admiration. Jesus referred to those in whom his words abide. That implies that something is deeply rooted, intimate, that life-giving relationship that is between the vine and the branches. In other places, Jesus clearly connected fulfilled prayer to the will of God the Father. When a person's prayer is absolutely, entirely united with the word and the will of God, that person is legitimately praying in the name of Christ. Not that we use prayer as a never-ending shopping list. Bearing spiritual fruit only comes when we abide in the power of Christ. And answered prayer only happens when what we pray is part of God's will. And we bless him. We bless him through service. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And so to bless, to be holy, to praise, adore, or worship, only branches truly connected to the source of life will produce fruit, just as the only truly born-again Christian will produce spiritual fruit. The process of growing from spiritual unfruitfulness to spiritual productivity to spiritual abundance is possible only through Christ. In that analogy that he uses here, Jesus distinguishes between branches which are in the vine and those who truly abide in the vine. The discarded branches Christ speaks about are those who were never saved in the first place. Salvation cannot be lost, but those who have only had an experience of faith will be judged accordingly, Matthew writes. Bearing true spiritual fruit is only possible through the power of Christ. And so I, to incline our hearts towards his word. If we went through to verse 10, it says, if, that big if, two little letters, massive word, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And to incline means to be favorably disposed, minded, willingly prepared. If you obey my commandments. So we get a choice. We can choose to or we can choose not to. Sometimes I wish God wouldn't give me a choice. But he does, because we have free will and we're not cyborgs. Production of spiritual fruit is evidence of a real relationship with Christ and comes only because of that connection. Abundance, another great word, is achieved when one deeply abides in Christ and his love. Obedience to Christ's teachings is a sign that we're born again. This means by which we transmit his love to the world and a method by which we too can glorify God. And so then we're encouraged to dwell deep in his love. As we read in verse 4, meaning that we live or we stay as a permanent resident. John uses the concept of abiding in Christ in slightly different ways, but always includes the idea of someone who expresses saving faith and holds fast to that belief. It implies obedience and perseverance. That's a hard one, isn't it? Perseverance. For a person to be spiritually fruitful, they first must be connected to the source of life, which is Jesus. We must lovingly obey Christ. And the more intimately that we're connected to our spiritual life giver, the more effective and productive we will be. And so finally, we exalt him with joy. It says in verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Joy, that glory, that praise. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus pointed out that his purpose was not to restrict our lives, but to give us life, life in abundance. He did this in part by giving us an example of what it means to follow the will of God, even when the situation seems terrible. Ultimately, that obedience not only leads to glory for God. The proofs that we are abiding include obedience to Christ's commands, following Jesus' example, living free from sin that becomes habitual, and the awareness of his divine presence with us within our lives. And so we have that responsibility, that challenge, that application to stand on his promises. We can abide in him as a place of refuge and safety. His love surrounds and protects us. It holds us steady and offers a deep peace that enables us to face great challenges with courage and strength as he abides in us. We find a home in him just as he has made his home in us. We are ever, forever joined in love and communion. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But then, as I say, it also offers a challenge. The purpose of this abiding is to make our lives fruitful. There is work to be done. And Jesus tells us that we are incapable of doing this work in our own strength. For this reason, we need to be joined to him and to his strength. For without him, we can do nothing. What we say is also a type of fruit in our lives. Jesus says, as Luke records, "A good person produces good deeds from a good heart, and an evil person produces evil deeds from an evil heart. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say." When you're a true Christian, it will be reflected by what you say. This is bearing fruit as well. So can others identify spiritual fruit in your life? As I said at the beginning, remember, people are watching us. They're listening to us. I hope that in some way that we are pointing them by our lives to Jesus. I believe in these confusing times that the call to rest and to respond, to find comfort and to find a sense of mission and purpose is what God is calling us to afresh. What does abiding mean to you? What implications does it have for you now in these disorientating and uncertain times? How do you abide? If abiding in Jesus involves ongoing daily dependence on him, what does that look like? Jesus himself tells us we abide in Jesus by letting his words abide in us and by abiding in his love. It means keeping the words of Jesus in our hearts and in our minds so that they are renewing and reviving us, shaping us and purifying us, filling and forming us. And it means keeping ourselves in his infinite, enduring, life-giving love. It means following, receiving, and trusting. Amen. Let's pray. The key to fruitfulness is not effort, though effort is necessary. The key to fruitfulness is for us to have our lives joined to the one true healthy vine, Jesus Christ our Lord. As our lives are joined to his, as we remain in him and he in us, then fruitfulness happens naturally. So I pray a prayer of commitment. Holy God, draw our lives closer to Jesus. Mould us and make us to be more like him. Use us to bring you glory and to help others know about your grace in Jesus. Build your character in us and use us to bless others. Lord Jesus, as I pray in your name, please come and abide in us. You are welcome in our hearts. We seek your presence and your power in all that we do. And if you agree, please say, Amen. Amen. And so as we prepare to gather around our Lord's table, let's sing number 1,000, King of Kings, Majesty. So as I said, it's all about the fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. You cannot bear fruit all by yourself. You need me. You need each other. I ask you, abide in me and with me at my table. And so may each one of us, God's beloved, stay united with Christ, and may God's Spirit always be with each one of us. Every believer is linked to Christ and to one another. As I keep saying, look around. You may be in eternity together, so get used to it. This is clear from the words of Jesus. But quite often we act as if we and not Christ was the source of our nourishment to others. And so we remember again, Jesus, you are the vine. We are the branches. You unite yourself with us. Sorry, unite yourself with yourself. See, there you go, devil speaking. To make our lives fruitful. Your grace and your strength enable us to be life-giving to others. And so we pray. Lord, we confess that we have not lived up to the calling that you first whispered in our ears, that we have gone astray. We have been weeds of isolation and thorny vines that carry no seed, choking out our sisters and brothers of fruitfulness, stealing their sunshine and allowing no rain to fall upon new seed. We are guilty of serving our own needs rather than contributing to the whole. And so we pray that you would forgive us, that you would connect us, that you would graft us once again in grace. There is good news. Christ came in the flesh to abide with us. God's love still grows in this world. In the name of Christ, we are forgiven. Lord, you are the vine. We are your branches. Jesus, you flow as the source, the love. You are the vine and we are the branches. You taught us that when we connect with you, that we grow. When we are not connected, we wither and die. You know what it is to die. You are the seed that was planted. You give us the faith in your church, a growing living plant of your creation. For Christ has risen. You give us the hope in the kingdom, for Christ will come again. Amen. And we read that on the night in which Christ died for us, he took the bread, wheat that had been grown in the fields, gathered and prepared. He gave thanks for it, and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, connecting each of them to himself, the bread of life. As he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper, he took the cup, grapes from the vine, crushed, poured out freely for all to share. He gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples, inviting them to be in the vine. "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new relationship, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of brokenness. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Let's just have a time of silence as we remember Jesus gathered with his disciples. Jesus present now in his Holy Spirit gathered with us. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit here on your branches. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of the field and of the vine. May these symbols remind us of your body broken and your blood freely given for us. Connect your branches to your vine so that all may grow in your love and grace. All this we pray in the name of the vine grower, the vine and the spirit of life within. Amen. So as you receive the bread, please take it as a sign of your own individual response to Jesus. This bread that we break is the bread of life. It is the sign of Christ's body. It is the sign of our unity with one another in the spirit of love and peace. The body of Christ given for you. As you receive the cup, please retain it as a sign of our unity in Christ's family. The true vine, without whom we can do nothing. Blessed are we who are invited to this table of life and of love. the blood of Christ given for you. And so we pray. God of all fruitfulness, we thank you for giving us the true vine, Jesus Christ. We know that Christ abides in us by the Spirit given to us. Separated from Christ, we can do nothing. Enable us to love one another, not only in word, but in truth and in action, just as Christ has commanded us. We ask in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, the true vine. Amen. And so, as I said, without Christ we can do nothing, and so we need to seek his vision. So let's sing number 51, and not just sing it, but pray it and mean it. Be thou my vision. Let's pray. As people who have been fed, go now to feed the world. As those who have been given hope, bring hope in place of despair. May God help us to do all that he plans and purposes through us, and always remember that we are never cut off from the source. The bread of life, the true vine, is with us always, and so we always share in hope's banquet. Thanks be to the one who hosts that banquet forever. Amen.